So today, I'd like to start with a story. This is a hypothetical story that I'm going to read. But because it's hypothetical doesn't mean that it doesn't have a lot of value and truth in it. So I'm going to ask you, as I read through this, to really give it some attention and to contemplate what's said in this story. The name of this story is Satan's Meeting. And it goes like this. Satan called a worldwide convention of demons. In his opening address, he said, "We can't keep Christians from going to church. We can't keep them from reading their Bibles. But we can keep them from forming an intimate relationship with their Savior. For once they gain that personal intimate relationship with Christ, our power over them is broken. So let them go to their churches. Let them read their Bibles. But steal their time, so they don't have time to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is what I want you to do," he said. "Distract them from gaining hold of their Savior and maintaining that vital connection throughout the day." "How shall we do this?" the demons shouted. "Keep them busy with the non-essentials of life and invent innumerable schemes to occupy their minds," he answered. "Tempt them to spend, 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 and to borrow, borrow, borrow. Persuade the wives to go to work for long hours and the husbands to work 6 to 7 days each week, 10 to 12 hours a day, so they can afford their empty lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As their families fragment, soon their homes will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still, small voice. Entice them to play music whenever they drive or walk around. Entice them to keep smartphones on them at all times, to constantly check Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat. When they get home, entice them to stream videos on TVs and to get on their PCs and play video games late into the night. This will jam their minds and break that union with Christ. Pound their minds with news 24 hours a day. Flood their email boxes with junk mail, scams, and every kind of promotional offer, and free products with false hopes. Keep skinny, beautiful models on magazines, TVs, and the internet, so their husbands will believe that outward beauty is more important, and they'll become dissatisfied with their wives. Keep husbands and wives too tired to love each other at night. If husbands and wives lose that connection with one another, they will begin to look elsewhere. That will fragment their families quickly. In their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return from their recreation exhausted. Keep them too busy to go out into nature and to reflect on God's creation. Instead, send them to amusement parks, sporting events, plays, concerts, and movies. Keep them busy, busy, busy. And when they meet for spiritual fellowship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave troubled with troubled consciences. Crowd their lives with so many good causes that they have no time to seek power from Jesus. Soon they will be working on their own strength, sacrificing their own health and family for good causes. It will work. It'll work, he says. It was quite a plan. The demons went out eagerly to their assignments, causing Christians everywhere to get busier and more rushed, going here and there, having little time for God or their family or their friends. So I guess the question is, has the devil been successful in his schemes? I came across this story once, the first time, I should say, about 2 years ago. I was actually driving on my way to Spokane. And that story stuck with me. The relevance of that story has stuck with me. And so I wanted to share that with you. And I wanted to see if you have that, those issues happening in your life. Is anything spoken in that story happening to you? I know it's happening to me. We have similar parables that talk about this in the Bible too. We have the parable of the sower. And you know, Christ spoke about this also, but in different words. Maybe words that were obviously more important, but less relevant in our time frame. The parable of the seed that fell on the thorny ground that got choked out by the cares of this world. We have the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. Now, they didn't stay close to God, didn't develop that intimate relationship. In these days that we live in, we're being pulled in all directions away from an intimate relationship with God and with Christ. The world we live in does not support us being close to our Father and to Christ. And we know it's a spiritual battle, don't we? This is a spiritual battle we fight. This isn't a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. It's a battle for our minds and our hearts. So how do we fight this battle? What are the tools that we are given to fight this battle? You know, God has given us a very important tool to fight this battle. And that tool is meditation. Meditation. So today I want to look at what the Word of God says about meditation and how important it is for us to value meditation and to apply meditation in our life, to have that as a part of our daily life. So when you think of meditation, do you think of that guy, you know, cross-legged on the floor, going, you know, and just kind of meditating there? I guess it would qualify, but that's not typically what we would speak of as meditation. So if you look at it in the Bible, one of the references for meditation is Strong's H1897, Haggah. And the description is this: by implication, to ponder, imagine, meditate, mourn, mutter, roar, speak, study, talk, utter. So when you look at meditation, it's a form of pondering something, using your imagination, maybe speaking, maybe even speaking to yourself if you think of it as uttering. Sometimes you speak to yourself and you're like contemplating something. So in essence, when you do this, when you meditate, it takes focus and it takes thought and it takes a desire to study and to think of something in depth, doesn't it? It's not something that just bounces off the surface. This is something when you meditate, you've got to really commit yourself to the thought of and exploring, pondering, imagining, and studying. So when you think about it, the time it takes to do that, or the focus it takes to do that, I think that story is even more relevant today. Today, that story is so relevant. How busy are we? How much time do we set aside for God to meditate, to hear that still small voice? It's hard to do in this society. Satan's doing a good job. He's cruising along, keeping us real busy at the left, to the right, straight, backwards, upwards, downwards, every way. We're getting bombarded with stimulation that takes us away from God, doesn't direct us to Him. So meditation, I think, is something that is valuable for us to look at as a crucial tool in our calling and our walk with God, a very crucial tool, something we need to apply in our lives. Interestingly enough, science has kind of shown, I was watching this on a show a while back, and I may be a little bit off on this, but it's basically when your mind creates a memory or a thought, it gets stored in the cells of your brain. And then there's pathways that are created to those cells that go back and forth, kind of like retrieving them. So the more you access that thought or that memory and you use that pathway, the stronger that pathway gets to that thought and that memory. And it becomes easier to remember. It becomes easier to take that thought and have it on your mind and to dive into it deeper. So Carla, I was telling Carla about that today, and she had a funny analogy. She said it's like taking a dirt road and making it a highway. So when you start thinking about things and meditate on things, you are sending those pathways to things you know about God. You're interconnecting the Word of God. You're taking those thoughts and you're moving them around in your mind. You're running the pathways and you're making those pathways stronger. And it makes your mind more able to prepare for battle, to fight off those things that we fight every day. So that's the scientific approach to it, if you want to look at it that way. So it really helps to meditate and to build those pathways. So now let's take a look at the Bible and read some scriptures on this. There's much written on meditation in the Bible. We won't even touch on a lot of it, but we'll touch on a little bit of it. Meditation is an interesting thing. When I was studying this, there are so many Greek and Hebrew words that describe meditation. They're varied. It's not just the one I gave you earlier from Strong's. There's many that actually translate into our language as meditation. And there's many that then also run very parallel with the similar descriptions of pondering, musing, and thinking about. So there's a lot in the Bible on meditation. Some of the phrases you'll run across in the Bible that are similar to meditation or do actually mean meditation is the phrase think on, which you'll hear that a lot, think on these things. Consider. Consider is another term that you'll see a lot in the Bible that directs you towards meditation. And bring into remembrance. Bring into remembrance is one also. It's calling you to think and to remember, to study, to have that in your mind. And we can clearly see it's a tool from God. If we turn over to John, let's go ahead and turn over to John 14 and read verse 25 and 26. So we're breaking into it in John 14, verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. So the tool we have is the Holy Spirit in meditation. It brings into remembrance. So we have God's Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to meditate on these things and to remember these things. Let's look also at a couple of the ways that meditating on God and meditating on His Word and His law helps us to win these battles that are kind of laid out, to help us to battle against Satan and the schemes that he plans in our lives. So I've got four of them that I'm going to go to. There's a lot more. But the first one I'd like to suggest or present is it puts things into perspective. When we meditate, it puts things into perspective. Basically, meditation grounds us. So let's go ahead and turn over to Psalms 8, 3 through 5 and look at that. Psalms 8, 3 through 5. We're going to spend a fair amount of time here in Psalms. Okay, starting in verse 3 of Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. When I consider, when David sat there and meditated and considered what God had done, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even beasts of the field, birds of the air and fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. David took time to consider. David took time to meditate and ask those questions. Part of meditating is asking questions. When I consider all that you've done, do we stop and meditate and consider what the Word of God is? Do we stop and meditate and consider our God? Do we put it in perspective? You know, all this around us that he created and how much he focuses on us. What is man that you're mindful of him? Well, he is very mindful of us. He knows when a sparrow drops our hair on our head. That puts things into perspective, doesn't it? When we just stop and hear that voice and meditate on those things. Who we are before our Creator and before our God, and how important we are to Him and how much He loves us. We get to see the big picture when we meditate. Let's turn over to Psalm 19. We'll start in verse 12. Psalm 19, 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Forgiveness? Meditating on that, David looked at that. And as he meditated, he realized that God is his redeemer and God is his strength. Do we take time to meditate on that? Do we share these same feelings that David shared? Who can cleanse him from his secret faults? Do we realize that God is there as our redeemer to do that? Do we meditate on that and think about that? Do we see the big picture we are involved in, the spiritual battle that is ahead of us? It helps to get perspective when we meditate, and meditation offers that. Second thing is meditation brings understanding. Meditation brings understanding. Let's go over and turn to Psalm 49. We'll start in verse 1 through 3. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall bring understanding. When you meditate on things, you start to understand. When you ponder, when you take those memories in different parts of your brain of God's scripture that he gives you and you start to interlink them, that meditation helps you to get understanding. Helps you to see things that maybe are unclear in the Word of God, but become clear as you meditate and think about them and you cross-reference them. Then those things that might be a little bit unclear, you get understanding towards. That's what meditation can do for you. Remember, ponder, imagine, muse, speak, and study. These are things that meditation is. Third one I wrote down is meditation protects us from fear and gives us peace. Meditation protects us from fear and gives us peace. Let's turn over to Psalm 64 and read verses 1 through 3. Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, for the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. You know, meditation, when you're meditating and you're seeing that big picture, you don't fear. When you remember that we're not to fear man, fear God. When you meditate on that, there is a peace that comes to you. Instead of terror by night, you're sounded, you're founded, and grounded, I should say, in the foundation of God. But that comes through meditation, from taking the time to think about it, doesn't it? Not from being away from it. You have to dwell on it and think about it and meditate on it. It's interesting how David phrased this. He said, hear my voice in my meditation. So meditation kind of allows us to commune with God. Have you ever done that when you're just kind of thinking and meditating and you're talking to God and you're kind of wondering, oh God, what about this? You know, you say this, how does this relate this? And maybe you're in your mind and you're just meditating and kind of having that conversation with God. And it also preserves your life from fear. Meditation also gives us peace. So let's go back to John. You can hold your place in Psalms here because we'll come back. But John 14, and we'll reread verse 26 and then add verse 27 to it. So John 14, verse 26, we read this already, but let's read it again. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As we bring into remembrance God's word, that Holy Spirit allows us to meditate on it and gives us strength. And there is no fear. Our heart isn't to be troubled. Our heart isn't to be afraid. Fourth thing I wrote down is guidance. Guidance. Meditation on God's law and statutes gives us guidance. How many times have we found ourselves in situations where you don't know what to do? Where do you turn? Hopefully you turn to the Word of God. Hopefully you start to meditate on what God's Word says and how He would handle it, how Christ would deal with things. Meditation gives you guidance. Let's turn to Psalm 119. And we'll read a few scriptures out of there. So we'll go ahead and start in verse 9. We'll read verse 9 in Psalm 19. How can the young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Let's go ahead and drop down to verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So verse 15 and 16 are basically answering the preposition in verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to according to your word. When you meditate, it gives you guidance. And as a young man, you should meditate on the word of God. You should consider his ways and contemplate what it means. We'll go ahead and continue on in 119 here. Go ahead and read verse 22. And we'll read 22 through 24. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I've kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. It's where you go for guidance. It's the word of God, his law, his ways. Let's continue on to verse 145, same chapter. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. I will cry out to you, save me, and I will help your testimonies, and I will keep your testimonies. I will rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, receive me according to your justice. They draw near to me who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that they have founded them forever. I have known from old that they have founded forever. So do we stop and contemplate? You know, when we're distressed, when we feel like we're being treated unjustly, do we stop and meditate? Do we seek guidance from the Word of God? Do we remember what is written? Do we think about it? Do we contemplate it? And we also know, if we turn back to Joshua 1, we'll read Joshua 1. Starting in verse 8. And this is familiar to us. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For when you make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and be of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 8, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know, it's a commandment from our God when we enter into covenant with him. This is not something that should be optional in our lives. This is something that we are commanded to do. Do we do it? If we remember, God, when he commands us to do things, they're for our good. He designed us. You know, he knows us. He knows what we need. Sometimes we need to be told to do something, otherwise we won't do it and it will be bad for us. You know, we've got a God that's loving. Do we think about that and take his commandments in that way and take them seriously and know that they're for our good and not for our harm? Do we meditate on them day and night? Are we following that commandment from God? You know, John Murphy summed this up a couple weeks ago. He kind of touched on this in a message he gave called Mind Space. You know, he talked about advertisers going after your mind. And it is a battle. It is a battle we are engaged in. Now, we may be in our comforts of our home. We may have enough food to eat. We may have all these things that we think, well, we're not in war. We're not at battle. You know, I go home, I'm comfortable, I eat, get good sleep, roof over my head. Well, physically, we have these comforts, but spiritually, we should be at battle. Spiritually, we need to be in that battle. This is our walk with God, to have that battle spiritually, and to not let Satan make us busy, 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 and overwhelm us and take us away from our God. So I've heard sometimes people refer to our walk with God as compared to a three-legged stool. You know, everyone's heard the analogy of a three-legged stool. You take one leg away and the stool's going to tip over. And some people have referred to that three-legged stool as prayer, Bible study, and fasting. And those are very important elements in our Christian walk and our relationship with God. Well, I want to suggest that these are our three important legs, but there's something on top of those legs that hold it all together. And I would submit to you that that's meditation. Meditation is that bench that you sit on. That supports those three legs being together. When you think about it, just give this some thought. Prayer without meditation, without having deep thought, without really thinking and contemplating your discussion, your conversation with God, it becomes nothing more than vain babblings, doesn't it? If you're not meditating and really engaged in that relationship with God and talking to him on a personal, deep, intimate level, you're going to repeat the same prayer over and over, and it's going to be like vain babblings. Meditation is important to consider, to muse, to think about your God, to contemplate him as you talk to him and his ways. What about Bible study without meditation? Bible study without meditation is just reading. It's just reading. If you're not taking in and thinking and contemplating what God's trying to get across through his word, you're just reading a book. You have to meditate and think on what the word of God is saying. What about fasting without meditation? If you're fasting and you don't have any thought behind it and there's no purpose or reason you're not meditating on it, all you're doing is going hungry. You're not eating. There's no benefit to it. Meditation is there with fasting. Meditation is there with Bible study. Meditation is there with prayer. Meditation is the bench that holds those three legs in. That's how important meditation is in our lives. Because we can do prayer, we can do Bible study, and we can do fasting. And we can just be hungry. We can just read a book. And we can just repeat things over and over. It has to be with meditation. So how do we go about meditation? You know, I talked and kind of joked a little bit about, you know, the yoga person sitting cross-legged on the floor going, you know, and contemplating. Is that meditation? You know, meditation is a far-reaching thing. It can be something you do in your bedroom at night. King David talks about meditation on his bed during the night watches. You know, when he's laying there in bed, meditating and contemplating God. How about when you first wake up in the morning? How about letting your thoughts go to God first and meditate on his ways and what he wants for you today? How about when you get in the car, instead of having that music, or when you're walking somewhere, instead of having that earpiece on where you're just listening to music and you're getting surrounded by all the chaos of life, how about taking that time to shut something down and take a drive and just think, meditate on God's ways? You can meditate anywhere and everywhere in life. It just takes you the focus and the desire to do it. It's not something you have to carve out this inexorbitant amount of time for. It should be something you do throughout your whole day, something we do throughout our whole day. Hop in the van to go somewhere, or, you know, hop in the car. Think about God. Do you have to have music on 24/7? You know? Do we have to be on Facebook so much? Is it that important for Snapchat? Can we not set it down for 5, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, whatever? Can we not just put it aside and think of God? Remember, we have an adversary out there who doesn't want you to take the time. He has put us in an environment that robs our time, a busy, busy, busy environment. We're in a battle. And unless we realize it, unless we see it as a battle, we will be lulled to sleep. We will give in to the schemes of the devil. We'll just go along because it's an easy path. He creates nice, easy ways for us to ignore God. He does. He doesn't make them difficult at all. He makes them so comfortable. So unless you realize you're in a battle, you're going to lose that battle. And meditation is a tool that God gives us to keep that battle in our favor and to win that battle. So let's go ahead and finish this in Philippians 4:8, a very familiar scripture to all of us. But I think it's a good one. Sends a good message. It's a good thing to remember. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.